Today, my task is Acts 5, 1 through 11. We're going to talk about the first fakers. I used to have a certain pastor used to say, fake it till you make it. And I kept, that's not biblical. That's not a good thing to say from the pulpit, fake it until you make it. I understood his heart. He was saying, do the hard stuff, even though you don't want to, until your heart wants to. I said, you can think of a better phraseology than fake it till you make it. And so we're going to look at the church's first fakers and see how God handled that. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Acts chapter 5. I'm going to read the verses and then we're going to jump in. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property. However, he kept back part of the proceeds with his wife's knowledge and brought a portion of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Ananias, Peter asked, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the proceeds of the land? Wasn't it yours while you possessed it? And after it was sold, wasn't it at your disposal? Why is it that you plan this thing in your heart? You have not lied to people, but to God. When he heard these words, Ananias dropped dead, and a great fear came on all who heard. Then a young man got up, wrapped his body, carried it out, and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Tell me, Peter asked her, did you sell the land for this price? Yes, she said, for that price. Then Peter said to her, why did you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Instantly, she dropped dead at his feet. When the young man came in, they found her dead, carried her out, and buried her beside her husband. Then great fear came on the whole church and all who heard these things. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come right now, God, to hear from you. I pray, God, that you would speak, and God, that you would transform us, help us understand who we are in Christ and how our witness affects those around us. Help us to be truth tellers. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, in who I trust. God's people said, amen. We live in a time where cybersecurity is big. There are so many cyber attacks, so many people working at these large companies that if you just click on the wrong thing, the whole company is going to fall. They look to send what they call phishing emails, things that look real but are not real, things that cause you to say, did I really miss that? Should I click on that to see what they said? And my wife always tells me, if you get an email that says this and you got to put in our banking information, don't do it. I thank God for my wife. Because one time I looked at it and I said, oh, I forgot to pay this. And my wife was like, no, stop. They're fishing. They're getting ready to get us caught up. And I did not click on it, but that malware is that intentionally designed to cripple your whole system. It's intentionally designed to hurt you or to extort money from you. And so there are a lot of people that are looking to do harm. Dare I say it? There are a lot out there that look to do harm to the church. said in Matthew 16, 18, after Peter declared, "You are the Christ," he said, "I will build my church, and not the gates of hell will prevail." So that means we have an enemy that's trying to infiltrate the church, that's trying to take our witness and cause people to think less of us. And so as Jesus told Peter, don't worry. The gates of hell, they may attack, but they will not prevail. That's why I like to watch SportsCenter. Anybody like to watch SportsCenter? I don't like to watch the game because it's too causes my heart to collide on the diet. I like to see the score at the end. If we win the Marcus, I watch the game. Because you know the game can all be fun. But if we lose, you know that, now you can walk in a community and be your authentic self. You can walk in a community and actually be generous because you already know you won. You can walk in a community and feel the unity because you're on the same team, amen? Too many times we walk into a community and we look around, and we're not the people of God. We come in as a man or a woman of your own identity. Jesus says to this group of believers, I'm birthing something new. Mike's talked about it, Pentecost. The church was birthed. He said, they heard suddenly a loud, violent rushing and came from heaven. It filled the whole house they were staying. They saw tongues like fire that separated and rested on each one of them. Here it is. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in different languages as the Spirit enabled them. That was the birth of the church. The Spirit that was promised came. 1 Corinthians 12, 13 puts it this way, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greek, whether slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit. We're unified by that one Spirit. That is what unifies us all as children of God. And so some of the marks of the early church we're going to see: authenticity, hospitality, generosity, unity. Let's look at Acts 2, 4 through 46. Look at what they devoted themselves to. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts. You see, in the early church, they did life together every day, not just on Sunday. They came together every day. Why? God was doing something new. These people had came from far off to Pentecost. And those that believed could not go back home. So therefore, they had to receive the hospitality of those that were living in Jerusalem as a new family. So in other words, they lost their original family, but became adopted into a new family that did everything together. business that was marked by generosity. It's not that I have. It's what God has provided, and I'm willing to share. It's more about, I understand you have a need. Has God helped me or given me something so that I can bless you? The principle is always God blesses so that we can be a blessing, not so that we can be a hoarder. God gives us so that we become a conduit to give to others. That's what true Christian love looks like. And the early church devoted themselves to that, and it caused this uproar in Jerusalem. So many people were coming to Christ. The first sermon, 3,000 came to Christ. Second time Peter preaches, 5,000 men came to Christ. You see, there was a movement that was happening that was empowered by the Spirit that caused the people of God to walk and talk like Jesus walked and talked. It causes them to think of God's glory before their own glory. It causes them to want to see others be a part of that family instead of that person's just evil. Did you get to the part where Saul had that interaction with an encounter with God as you're reading? But before that, in chapter 8, Saul saw Stephen stoned to death. And the Bible said he approved. Road. It changed the trajectory of his whole life. But the witness of Stephen not to shrink back on that moment when he was being stoned, still praying for those who did not know him. The early church had the power of the Holy Spirit to move like never before. Look at what it says in Acts 4, 32 through 37. This was after 5,000 more came. It says, now the entire group of those who believed were of one heart and one mind. And no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but instead they held everything in common. With great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of Jesus, and great grace was on them all. For there was not a needy person among them, because all those who owned lands and houses sold them and brought the proceeds that they sold. Then they tell you about a man. They laid it at his feet. Then there was distributed to each person as a need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus by birth, the one the apostles called Barnabas, which is translated son of encouragement, sold a field he owned, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Generosity. I like this because it says he gave the money. A lot of times we like to direct our giving, amen? Mike, you like to direct. We give and say, this is for such and such ministry. We give for the benevolent. Correctly. And they brought it. And Barnabas was just a generous guy. I think he had the gift of giving. That is one of the gifts that we have in our church. And he was that guy that when he saw a need, he thought it was his responsibility to to see whatever he could do, he did. Now we're going to see a contrast. Now we're going to see a couple. They sold land, we just read about it. But they planned something in their hearts. Let's look at it. Acts 5, 1 through 2. But a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. However, he kept back part of the proceeds with his wife's knowledge, brought a portion of it, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Kept back. That phrase says they intentionally tried to deceive. They intentionally tried to make others believe that they were giving all of the money. And so before they even got there, they devised this plan. Let's come up. Okay, we made 200. Let's just give 100 and tell them that's all that the property is. So they created this plan. Look at Peter's questioning. Verses 3 through 4. Ananias, Peter asked, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Stop right there. This right here, we're starting to understand the Holy Spirit. A lot of people call him a force. Call the Holy Spirit an it. The Holy Spirit is God, a divine person. You cannot lie to a force, but you can lie to a divine person. And so here, we see Luke trying to get us to understand Satan caused them or influenced them in their heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the proceeds of land. Then he says, wasn't it yours? You possessed it. And after it was sold, wasn't it at your disposal? Why is it that you planned this thing in your heart and you have not lied to people, but to God? Why? God's been so good to you. Why did you think that it was okay that you could lie to a holy God? Why did you think it was okay to think God didn't know? And the only thing I can come up with is when we sin like this, we have a distorted view of who God is. We dumb God down to our size. We make him like us. God says, I'm not a man that I should lie. God says, that's not who I am. I'm omniscient. I am all knowing. Did you hear our call to worship? Before a word is on my tongue, God knows my thoughts. Wherever I go, I cannot leave your presence. If I go down the shield, you are there. This is a God that knows all, that has the power to do all. Out of nothing, he's created everything. And so, as the church was growing and thriving, you had someone attack the credibility of the church through the vessels that were in the church. The question is, why has Satan filled you? In other words, Satan is the prince of this world. He has influence over things that happen under the guise of God. He can't do anything on his own. Everything has to be filtered through God's hand. And here, we have two church members that have been influenced that God is not who he said he is. And they want to pretend so that others will like them more. Look at how Satan is described in John chapter 8. He says, you are the father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of all lies. Understanding, a lot of times people say, I just said a little white lie. There's no such thing as a little white lie. Each time we tell a lie, it's a sin. And sin separates. It causes us all kinds of anxiety. And most of the time when we sin, it's for people to think better of me. I'm protecting something about me. And remember when I told you the church in the beginning, the authenticity of the church, they came as who they were. They didn't put on that. They didn't care what other people thought. All they wanted was to see God's glory magnified. They wanted to see God's witness go throughout this world. But we have a situation here where people thought more of themselves. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You are sealed with him until the day of redemption. In other words, understanding that seal means you're identified as his child. The Spirit resides in you as a child of God. That's where your identity comes from. And so Paul tells us to put off the old self. Look at what he says in Ephesians 4:22 through 24. He says, take off your former way, the old way that is corrupted by deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, the one created according to God's likeness in righteousness, purity of the truth. When we come to Christ, we have two natures. We still have that old nature. But God gives us a new nature. The question is, whatever nature you're feeding is the nature that will lead you. And so he's telling us, take off. Like at the end of a long day, you take off your dirty clothes. Take a shower, put on new clothes. Paul says, take off the former ways of life. Take off those things that you used to do. Renew your mind. Renew your mind with the truth of Scripture so that you can put on new clothes. And watch so that you can walk in the likeness of God. So we have to put off the old man. He gives us an example of that. As we become part of the new body, he says, therefore, put away lying. Speak the truth, each one to his neighbor, because we are members of one body. Did you hear that? Because we are members of one body. He's calling us to walk in the truth because the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. We identify with him as we walk with him. And so many times we're not walking in the truth. We think that lying is okay. Look at the divine judgment that comes next. He said, when he heard these things, verse 5, Ananias dropped dead, and a great fear came over all who heard. The young man got up, wrapped up his body, carried him out, and buried him. The judgment was swift. Some will say, why was that judgment so swift? The church was early. They were still developing their values and who they were. One of the things God was not going to allow the early church to identify the sin as being okay. Immediately, Ananias dropped dead. And great fear came. And this is always how it gets me in the Bible. They did not have access. So how in the world did the word spread that quickly? People from all over heard about Ananias dying because he lied to the Holy Spirit. And then comes in his wife. It says about 3 hours later, his wife came in not knowing what had happened. Here goes Peter again questioning. Peter asked her, "Did you sell the land for this price?" Her response, "Yes." She said, "For that price." So Peter gave her the opportunity to tell the truth. Peter positioned the question in such a way that says, "You sold me for 100. Is that the correct thing?" And Peter's going to say, "No, don't say that." And she's like, "Yes, I did." And Peter said to her, "Why did you agree to test the Spirit, the Lord? For the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they carried her out." Understanding that immediately God in the beginning wanted his church to know that he, number one, was all-knowing, number two, that he was holy, and number three, that we're accountable to him. I think when we lie, we don't think that we're accountable to God. We think it's just about me. And once again, if you have a low view of who God is, it will cause you to think more highly of yourself than you ought. And it will cause you to believe that you can lie and it not affect anybody. The truth is, God's church is a holy organism. It's living. It's active because the Spirit lives in us. And I guess every time I step away, I'm not being heard. Okay. I'm a little slow. But understand that when God starts something new, he wants us to see him for who he is. Not to misrepresent him in our behaviors. I think a lot of times we believe it's okay if I choose my way over God's way. I think the biggest takeaway that I come from this is that we all have a heart problem. We all have this hole in our hearts that only God can fill. And sometimes we prop ourselves up by making ourselves into more than what we are. Realizing that we're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. And we try to stuff that God-sized hole with the things of this world. Our reputation, the things that we own, how much we have in the bank, and all those don't matter to God. God says where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. What's that thing that you are putting above God? God wants to meet you right there, so that you can have a correct view of who he is and what he's done for you. And the word that comes to my mind is the word surrender. A lot of times we talk about surrender. It's a good word in the church, but surrender is hard because most of us like control. I like comfort, Mike. When it's hot outside, I like my AC to work. right? Can I tell you that as we seek to be the church that God wants us to be, Mike talked about a revival. Understanding revival starts with each individual. And each individual asking God to search your heart, to see what's in your heart so that he can deal with your heart. I think we come to church trying to make it seem like everything's okay. Sometimes we have rough weeks, amen? Sometimes we get attacked on all sides. And it's okay to bring that to the one who can revive those things that are dead. Sometimes our love grows cold for our neighbor. I'm just being real. God wants to take that thing that you're putting above him and replace it with the Lord Jesus, who is the Lord of all. My question, will you surrender today your will to his will? Say, not my way, but thy will be done. All eyes closed. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are a holy God. We thank you that you are a loving, patient God. But God, you are a just God, and you judge sin. God, there are so many under the sound of my voice that are going through all kinds of things. God, we recognize you to be sovereign and in control. We recognize you to have power to heal. Heal relationships. Heal broken hearts. God, we know that you can resurrect those things that are dead in our life. Father, I pray for that one that may not know you today, that may believe that at the end of his life or her life, they just die. But the Bible says it's appointed once to man to die, and then after that, judgment. But thank you for the Lord Jesus. Those of us who have put our faith in the finished work of Jesus, we have assurance that we will spend eternity with him. God, I pray that you would, by the power of your Spirit, convict that one, that they would turn away from their evil desires and surrender all to you. You're a good God. You have given us everything for life and godliness. As Mike said earlier, you're a God when we ask for things, you give good gifts. And you give us your Spirit to lead, guide, and protect us. And so, God, help us to desire more of your will so that our witness here at Valley would ring ever so brightly. God, there may be one that wants to join us. I pray that you would release them to work here and to serve here. But there's some that are just dealing with heavy, heavy things, God. I pray that you would meet them in their grief. I pray, God, that you would meet them. They have loved ones that do not know you. God, I pray that you would move on their behalf and draw those loved ones to yourself. God, you're at work. And you're still growing your kingdom. Thank you for Valley's witness. Thank you for our heart to reach people. But help us to live holy lives that reflect your character. We ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing one more song. And if God is challenging you, this is your time to respond, whether that challenge is to surrender. There's something in your life that you have not surrendered. You can pray right there. Pastor Mike, I'll be up front, David. Meet with us, but don't leave. Have that encounter with God. Let him speak to your heart. If we would all stand.